in Genesis chapter number 39 this morning. We'll finish up that chapter as we look through here this morning. Genesis chapter number 39. Now, we've gotten up to the place where Joseph was tempted, and he passed that temptation. The Lord helped him, gave him the grace that he needed to be able to resist that temptation and to come through that. I wanted to kind of just touch base on the end of that real quick before we move down. He had that steadfast resolution. And we remember we were talking about that he had lost his coat. And Brother David Goffinet reminded me Sunday, and I remembered that. He said, that's the second time Joseph has lost his coat. And I said, that is the truth. But we said there that it's better to lose a good coat than to lose your character. Amen? And that's the truth. And Joseph did that. I want us to take a look. We've been looking at some types of Joseph to Christ. And we see here one that I wanted us to take a look at. And that Joseph was sorely tempted, but didn't sin. Amen? And Jesus, we know from the Word of God, was tempted. Amen? In Matthew chapter number 4, all the way verses 1 through verses 11, we know that Jesus was tempted and did not sin. Amen? Let's look over, and also let's look at a couple of verses here. Hebrews chapter number 2, hold your spot in Genesis 39, but flip over to Hebrews. Chapter number 2. Hebrews 2 and 18 says, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted." Amen. Look in verse chapter number 4 and verse number 15. 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Amen. So we see Joseph as a type of Christ here, where that he was tempted and he did not sin. He did not give into that. And we see Jesus Christ here, who, as this verse tells us, was is our high priest, and who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So that shows us, and that tells, the Word of God tells us, that everything that we that can come our way, everything that we we think, well, you know, it's not like it used to be, right? I never heard that, you know, that it's different today than it used to be. Well, not according to the Word of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Amen. So it can be done. Amen. So that's a good type of Christ there, and Joseph as a type of Christ. So we see that. So now we see, let's go back to Genesis 39. So now we see, we've seen him, as the old adage goes, and as you've heard the points, we've seen Joseph here in the pit. We saw him in Potiphar's house as he was tempted. Now it's going to change a little bit. And let's take a look in Genesis 39 and verse number 13. "Came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought into us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy." Amen. "And gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So we see here now, as we're looking in back in verse number 13, that Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him before his fellow servants and gives him a bad name among them. This is Joseph, who has done everything that he can and has strived to have a good name, right? He's an innocent man. He's a godly man. He's done everything he can to try and do what's right. And Potiphar's wife accuses him. No doubt, with Joseph's favor that he had in Potiphar's house, how he'd come up through those ranks pretty quickly, and Potiphar had made him the ruler over everything. I'm sure there was some jealousy, right? I'm sure there was some envy. I'm sure there was just some opportunity. They were looking for a chance. This is just conjecture on my part, but we know human nature. I'm sure there was just part of them that was just waiting to find something on Joseph. Now Potiphar's wife comes and accuses him falsely before these fellow servants and gives him a bad name. Now listen, innocence does not always secure a person's reputation. Think about that. Innocence doesn't always secure a person's reputation. Not everybody that keeps a good conscience can keep a good name. The devil's always looking for opportunities to twist that around, to turn it around. And his wife, Potiphar's wife, took that opportunity here, and she accused Joseph before his fellow servants. She also accused Joseph to his master, to Potiphar. And Potiphar had the power to do something about it. Amen. Those other people didn't. But Potiphar had the power to punish him, even though his fellow servants didn't. As we look and we think about it, I wrote this down, that it's no new thing that the best of men are accused of the worst of deeds by those who are the worst of men. It's nothing new. Amen. It's no new thing that Christians, amen, are falsely accused of bad things by the worst of people. They're looking for opportunity. Amen. Nothing new. You think, wow, man, this is just, I mean, look what's happening in my life. Well, guess what? It's been like that since way back, before Joseph. But Joseph here, Potiphar's wife accused him before his master. So now someone would think, when they read this story, they'd think that Joseph is the bad guy, and he's a bad man, and Potiphar's wife is a virtuous woman. But aren't you glad that there's a day of reckoning coming? Amen. Amen. One of these days, the true character, and unfortunately, sometimes we say amen, sometimes we have to say, oh me, because the true character of everyone is going to come out one day. Amen. Well, that ought to make us, stop, shouldn't it? That ought to put the brakes on and say, oh. Because all that, I mean, we want to say, yeah, they got their day coming, and that's true, and amen, they do. And there's all of us, we all have that, you know, if we're honest, we all have that thing of, man, one of these days they're getting theirs. But boy, we got to be careful too, amen. We got to take that thing and point that finger and say, boy, it ought to make us put on the brakes. It ought to make us think about it, amen, about what's coming, because that true character, it's all going to come out one day. This was not the first time, I mentioned this before, this wasn't the first time Joseph had lost his coat. But it's also not the first time that his coat was made use of as a false witness against him. Remember his daddy? Remember his coat before? He brought that coat before his daddy. His daddy was deceived by it. And now Potiphar is deceived by Joseph's coat. So we see that his wife here, in 13 down through about verse number 17, where she accuses him falsely before his fellow servants, she accuses him falsely before his brethren. We see a type of Christ in that as well, don't we? Falsely accused. What about Jesus? Our Savior was falsely accused, wasn't he? Go into the book, if you with me would, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Verse number 49. No, that's not right. 59, sorry. Matthew 26, verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Doesn't that scream at you? You hear what that's, yeah, I mean, you understand what that says? The priest, the chief priest, and the elders, and all the council. Look what it says. Sought false witness against Jesus. That's how bad they wanted to get rid of him. It says right there, to put him to death. It was so, they had looked so hard, they wanted to get rid of him so bad that even the chief priest was willing to hunt for some way to lie against him. Man, they'll climb a tree. Hey, listen, lost crowd, they'll climb a tree backwards if they can find something on you. Amen? They will. But look what it says in verse 60. Aren't you glad of this? But found none. Amen. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at last came two false witnesses, and then it goes on to talk about what they said. We see a type of Christ with Joseph here. He was falsely accused. Jesus, our Savior, was falsely accused. And they couldn't find anything wrong with him, and they couldn't find anything wrong with Joseph. So they took his virtue, they took his integrity, flipped it around on him to try and get him. And so we see now back in 39, we see now, starting in verse number 19, that now the story changes a little bit. Now Joseph is wronged by Potiphar. Now his wife had falsely accused him, and now Potiphar picks it up and is wrong. Now either Joseph didn't make a defense, or Potiphar just didn't care or didn't believe it or didn't want to hear it or whatever, I don't know. But there's nothing tells us this, but something. I don't know that if Joseph was just quiet before his accusers and didn't say anything, but whatever happened, Joseph is put into prison. He's innocent, amen? Hadn't done anything wrong. I mean, he's done exactly what he's supposed to do, isn't he? I mean, he's done exactly what a Christian or a man, or the, in this case, a child of God, should have done. And they put him in prison. These folks that will tell you that, these folks that teach a prosperity gospel and a prosperity life, and if you name it and claim it and you get saved and everything's going to be peaches and cream and roses, they're lying to you. Amen? Now, I'll say this. It's still the best life. Amen? It's still the best way. I've put it to the test. How many of you in this room have put it to the test? Amen? Still the best way, isn't it? Amen? No matter, hey, whatever comes, it's still the best life. Still the best way. Hey, our payoff is down the road. Our payday is coming. Just like the lost man, who was it? Used to preach that message, payday someday. Percy Ray, wasn't it? Percy Ray, I believe, used to preach that message, payday someday. Well, we got a payday coming someday too, amen? And I know we get down, you know what I'm saying though. There's a payday coming for the lost man, but I'm glad we're going to cash in one day, amen? Get a mansion, amen? Got a crown, I don't even know how to play the harp, but I'm going to have a harp someday. I'm going to be able to play the harp. Won't that be a blessing, amen? Woo! And you'll be able to sing if you, some people say, I can't sing. Well, you probably can and won't, but you will that day. For all eternity, we'll be singing for the Lord, amen? That's just good, amen? So Joseph did exactly what he was supposed to do, and it ends up in prison. His master's wronged him. Who's that sound like? Who's that sound like a type of? Joseph was cast into prison though he was innocent. Our Savior was sentenced to death, even though Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Remember that? Let's go over to the book of John and look at that real quick. John chapter 19. I like looking at these scriptures as we come across them. Amen. Like I've always said, and I say it over and I know I repeat myself, but that's okay. But the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Amen. John chapter number 19. Verse number 4. John 19:4 says, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. I hadn't found any fault in him either, amen? Been 24 years since I got saved. And Sister Joan, in 24 years, I hadn't found any fault in Jesus, amen? Had never regretted it one day that I've been saved. There had never been one day where I said, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Man, I wish I hadn't become a Christian. Not one time has it ever happened, amen? Because I find no fault in him. How about you this morning, amen? There's no fault in our Savior. There's fault in us, but no fault in him. Amen. Jesus, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. That message right there will preach. Amen. That's a good message to preach to a lost crowd, to a saved crowd. Behold the man. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to remember sometimes to take back and take a glimpse back and remember what it was like when Jesus saved us. Amen. See him hanging on that cross. I'm glad he's not there anymore. Amen. But sometimes we don't have to keep him up there like everybody, like some of these other denominations, like some of these other religions. We don't have to just keep him up there and hang him on a wall. But sometimes it's good for us to look back and see him on that cross and remember and behold the man. Amen. It's good for us sometimes to remember that empty tomb and say, behold the man. He's not there anymore. Amen. It's good for us sometimes to see him on the throne and see him there at the right hand of God making intercession for us and say, behold the man. Amen. Because he's our Savior. Pilate said, behold the man. And then when the chief priest, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, you take him and crucify him. I find no fault in him. Well, I'm glad of that this morning. That just reminds me, that helps me to just say amen right there. That's a type, Joseph as a type of Christ. He was cast into prison even though he was innocent. Sister Joan, you was going to say something? Isaiah chapter number 53. That's right. Let's flip over there and look at that. Thank you, Sister Joan. Let's look at that real quick. I believe it's where that is. I know it's other places, but I believe in 53 is where it for sure is. We'll just have to take a look at that this morning. Let's do this right here. Verse number 4 of Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. Right? Amen. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here's what Sister Joan was talking about in the next verse. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He'll have plenty to say later, though. Amen. Yes, he will. Amen. He'll have plenty to say in the future. And then they won't open their mouth. They're going to bow the knee. They will bow the knee. Amen. You mark her down. You say, I tell you one thing, I ain't going to bow the knee. You will bow the knee one day. Amen. I'm glad I've already bowed it, aren't you? Yeah. I'm glad I've already bowed it. We're going to bow the knee. They'll bow the knee one day, and he won't have to say a word. They'll just cast themselves into a lake of fire. I believe that. I know they're cast in. There won't be anything to say. Amen. In that day, he opened not his mouth. He didn't then, and he sure will one day. And as a sheep, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The Bible tells us, and look what it says in the next verse, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Look in verse number 12 real quick. Therefore I will divide with him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Sounds just like Joseph, doesn't it? Joseph was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Boy, I'm glad he did. Amen. That's my Savior. Amen. I find no fault in him. Amen. Joseph's a type of Christ. Thank you, Sister Joan. Appreciate that there. It's a good help. And so he's cast into the prison for doing right. Suffered for doing right. God restrained Potiphar's wrath, or he would have put him to death. See, Potiphar could have ended it right there. And that would have been the end of it. But God, that wasn't God's plan. Amen. God had a place for him. God had a purpose for him. God had a plan for him. He took that. He restrained Potiphar's wrath. Potiphar wasn't allowed to kill him. He just put him into prison. God took that wrath of Potiphar and turned it into his praise. Because I believe, because Potiphar probably chose the king's prison because it was the worst prison. It was the worst of the worst. And they put him in there. And let's look in Psalm 105, if you would, with me real quick. Psalm 105 is kind of interesting. It comes in later and gives us a little bit more detail than what we have written here by Moses. Psalm 105. In verse number 17. Says in Psalm 105, 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. So Joseph was put into this prison, the worst of the worst. It wasn't just some little, you know, he was just in there all of a sudden and everything was peaches and cream. They put him in the shackles. They put him in the irons. He's shackled up. He's in the dungeon. He's in the worst of the worst places. But see, the Lord had designed that place. The Lord had designed that particular place to pave the way for where Joseph was going, for his enlargement, for his advancement, if you would. God knew exactly where he needed to be. Sometimes we go into the prison, so to speak, in our life. Sometimes we go through things we're thinking, why, Lord? I don't understand this. Why am I being shackled by this? And we get the shackles of doubt. We get the shackles of fear, right? We get the shackles of uncertainty. We get the shackles of these things locked onto us, not realizing that God knows exactly where we are. God's got a plan. God's going to enlarge us through it. God's got a place for us. And you see here, and so I put it this way. He was put into the king's prison, that later he might be brought before the king's person. Amen. That's why he was put in the king's prison, because there's a coming time later he was going to be brought before the king in person. God knew exactly where he needed to be. Joseph was wronged by his master, but Joseph was righted, so to speak. I had to get a word that worked out there, right? So Joseph was righted by his God. Look at verse number 21. I love this. Genesis 39 is where we are. Chapter number 21, verse 21, I mean. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph has no friends, no relatives, right? There's nobody here to comfort Joseph. There's nobody here to minister to Joseph. There's nobody even here to mediate for Joseph. But the Bible tells us, but the Lord was with him. Amen. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Well, I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that in my life, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Ever experienced that? In that time in the life where it just felt like you was all alone, felt like it was just you, but the Lord was there. The Lord was with you. Amen. Psalm 69, if you would. Psalm 69, verse number 33. Well, I've read this verse before, just kind of reading through the book of Psalms, and just kind of, you know how you just, sometimes you're just reading the Word of God and you just read over verses because That's what you're supposed to do. You got to read a chapter. You got to read four chapters of Psalms a day. And that's a blessing. I've read this verse how many times, but look at it today in this light. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not, what? His prisoners. What is that talking about? His prisoners. What is Joseph was a prisoner of the Lord. Amen. Sometimes that prison in our lives, we go through the pits. We go through the Potiphar's house of the testing. Sometimes we go through the prison, the Lord's prison, even though we've done right. Sometimes we go into his prison. But the Bible says here, he despiseth not his prison. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Lord knew where Joseph was. He ministered to him. Bars, no gates can shut out God's grace and his gracious presence from us. Amen. He said, he's the one that said he promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Lord knows where we are. Amen. Lord knows exactly where you're at. Lord knew where Joseph was. And Joseph, in those shackles, in those fetters, in those shackles of iron, shackled in there, didn't lose hope. We know he didn't lose hope. If he had lost hope, he never would have gotten to the next verse. Amen. Back in 39. Hope you got your ribbon in there because we're going back and forth a lot. Amen. 39. He never would have got to verse 22 where it says, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. It wasn't long before Joseph becomes a little ruler in the prison. God's preparing him. Amen. He's a little ruler here now. God's put him into a. God's given him an opportunity to hone the skills and the negotiation tactics and the wisdom that he was going to need. God let him start doing that here in the prison, so that later on, when he put him where he wanted, he would have given him everything he needed. And that's what God does for us. He teaches us things along the way. Amen. He gives us these little, maybe, you know, he might let you take on a task in the church, and maybe it might seem like a menial task, but he'll let you do that one, and you do that one, and you're faithful to it, and he'll move you up to the next one, right? And you do that, and you're faithful to that one, and he sees that you're not going to quit, or you're not an adversity won't stop you, or whatever it means. He'll move you up to the next one. Amen. And so Joseph becomes a little ruler here, and God gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Flip with me, if you would, over the book of Psalms 106. We've got a couple more verses we'll look at, and then we'll be done this morning. Psalm 106. Pardon me. Verse number 44. He's talking here about the Israelites, the Jews. And it says in verse 44, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. Amen. The verse before us tells him that he would deliver them, but then they'd just provoke him again. They would just make him, he'd forgive them. They'd provoke him again. He'd bring them back under bondage. But look in verse number 44. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. I tell you, no matter what, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter what you think, don't ever think, I'm ashamed or I can't come before the Lord. He wants you to. Amen. He needs to hear from you. He said he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant. Amen. Well, I'm glad of that. Amen. His covenant. He made a covenant with us when we got saved. Amen. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. This is a new Bible, so I have to start underlining things again. Amen. I have to underline that. Amen. The multitude of his mercies. I like that. Amen. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. That's what we see with Joseph here. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Joseph's in the worst of the worst prison. Joseph's locked up in irons. And God starts to take him, and God gives him favor with the keeper of the prison. At some point, those fetters came off, amen, because now Joseph's running the place, amen. Joseph's got the prisoners. He's telling them what to do, and there's nothing that's done that Joseph didn't have his hand in. The keeper saw that God was with Joseph, and that everything prospered under his hand, down in verse 22 and 23. And he entrusted Joseph with the management of the affairs of the prison. So even in the prison, even in the hard times, even in the suffering of from doing what was right, God is giving Joseph favor. God is working in Joseph's life. God is working him to a point. I'm sure that at this point, maybe Joseph has faith. Maybe I'm sure that Joseph is trusting in God. We know he is. He's still doing what's right. But he doesn't see yet. He doesn't know yet where it's headed. Amen. Remember that. Remember, we already know the end of the story. See, we've skipped over, and I guess you have. I'm guessing everybody in this room knows how this story ends up. Amen. But Joseph didn't have the end of the book yet. Amen. He's living the story. And he doesn't know where this is going. But he's staying faithful. See, we don't know where this is taking. You don't know where this, if you're in this time of your life right now, maybe you're going through it, you don't know where this is taking you yet. Amen. But God does. And that's what's encouraging to us. All right, let's finish up with this. A good man will do good wherever he is. Amen. He'll be a blessing even in his bonds because the Spirit of the Lord is not bound. Amen. Amen. Even in our bonds, even in whatever it is that's got you fettered, even though it is whatever has you shackled, the Spirit of the Lord's not shackled. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord has no bounds, and a good man will do good no matter where he is, and he'll be a blessing even in his prison. That's what we need to be looking for. How, Lord? I don't know about this. I know you got a purpose for it, Lord. Show me what you have for me. How can this turn to your good? How can this turn to your praise? How can this be a blessing? How can I be a blessing through this? We'll finish up with Philippians chapter number 1, and we'll be through this morning. Philippians chapter number 1. Hard to get used to a new Bible, amen. All the pages stick together. Philippians chapter number 1. I tell you though, I'm glad my old one. I mean, honest truth is, my other one wore out. So, I mean, to me, that's a blessing, amen. I can't, but it's got Brother Kevin's probably. I mean, it's got all my stuff in it though, right? I mean, it's got. Man, I'm like, I can't even. There's no way I can transfer all of this over to this Bible, but yet. Thank the Lord. The Lord gave me this one, and it's a blessing. I'm getting used to it, but I got to start over again on that. But book of Philippians, chapter number 1, and verse number 12. Paul says, "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Amen. Paul's like, understand, brethren, these things that are happening to me, these bonds that I'm in. Paul was in bonds, right? Paul was bound. Paul was a house prisoner. Paul had been shackled in prisons too. He said, all these things have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, amen, and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear, amen. World sees you going through hard times and living up and having a testimony and saying and not letting it drag you down and not getting the case of the mully grubs and the me oh my's, but sees you going through it with grace. It'll do two things. Some people will take notice and wonder, how in the world do they do that? And other people will be more emboldened when they're in theirs as well. Amen. He says here that many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And boy, I tell you, that's the truth. Amen. Oh boy, I tell you, the Christian army, and I'll just say this in passing. You know, the Christian army is the only army that'll shoot their own wounded. Amen. That's sad. But he says here, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But look at verse 17. But the other, of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. There's another one to underline. Amen. Can you say that? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, Sister Joan. Amen. That's a blessing. It is, and it is. You're right, Sir John. It is a blessing when you hear those guys, and in your case, those girls talking about how they had Bible study. Like a couple of weeks ago, we didn't get our regular block. Not this past Thursday, but Thursday before last. We didn't get our regular block. They shifted things around. They brought us a different block. It was all in the Lord's hand because one of those men got saved, so God had it in his hands. But the other block that we normally have said, well, we were looking for you, but you didn't come. I said, well, we were here. They said, that's all right. We had Bible study anyway. I said, well, amen. That's the way it ought to be because it's your church. That's what we call it. We call it their church. They have church on Thursday nights. We go on Sundays. They go on Thursdays. Amen. And that's their church time, and it's good. You're right. They still have it. We've had men lead men to the Lord back in the block. Amen. It's a blessing. And Paul said here, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Is that you this morning? Amen. We'll finish up this morning. Are you set for the defense of the gospel? Are you? Amen. No matter what, are you set for the defense of the gospel? Look what it says here in the last verse, 18. We'll stop. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Amen. He said some of them are doing it for the wrong reason, but they're still preaching. The Bible, the Word of God, is still getting preached. Some of them are doing it for the right reason. Either way, the gospel of Christ is getting preached. Amen? Amen. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So we see here in Joseph's, in this study that we're doing of Joseph and his life, that he's in his third testing, so to speak. He's passed the first two. What's going to happen in this one? Looks, it's looking pretty good. God's got him there. God's using him. God's given him a chance to be the manager of the affairs of the prison. He's had favor. The Lord's with him. And Joseph is in a time in his life of a prison. He's in a time in his life where he's suffering for doing right. He's suffering. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's suffering for doing the right thing. That's the character we need to have. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer this morning, and we're going